Hello and welcome back to the 3 a.m. Mystery Club. I'm Brandon.
I'm Rowena.
And I'm Derek.
Hey everybody, so tonight I hear Derek has a really interesting story for us. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready and I can't wait to tell you both about this. Somehow, I think this is one the three of us have not discussed, and I hope you don't know very much about it. Have you heard of Amy Lynn Bradley?
I've heard the name, but I think maybe only because when I've been searching for other cases, it popped up, but I don't think I've ever read or listened to anything about it, so I'm ready.
Rowena, have you?
The name sounds familiar, but I won't know until you actually start talking about it. I'm terrible with names.
Okay, then let's do it. An all-American young woman vanished from a cruise liner sailing the Caribbean. Her family's search for answers led them into inconceivable territory. What happened to Amy Lynn Bradley? Amy Lynn Bradley has been described as a focused fireball, and a lot like her mother, Iva. While growing up in Virginia, she and her brother Brad were both very active in athletics and extremely close. She has been referred to as the Take Charge sister. Amy and Brad were raised in the Virginia suburb of Chesterfield by their parents, Ron and Iva Bradley. A star athlete, Amy was the only girl on the boys' basketball team. She had a lot of confidence and believed she could do anything. She has been described as very competitive, but in a healthy way. After high school, Amy got a full scholarship to play basketball at Longwood University. Her family never missed a game, no matter how far away it was. In March of 1998, Ron and Iva Bradley and their adult children, Brad and Amy, had plans to go on a week-long Caribbean vacation. The trip was a gift from her father, Ron's employer. 23-year-old Amy had just graduated from college. Her 21-year-old brother, Brad, was still in college. Amy had just moved into her own apartment and was offered a job in a family member's computer business. She had plans to start the job when she returned from the cruise. She also had plans to pursue a master's degree in sports psychology. Amy was also a swim team coach who swam all of her life. Even though she was an accomplished swimmer, Amy was still a little hesitant to go on the cruise. She wasn't a fan of the open ocean or big boats. But after just a little convincing, she was ready to spend some quality time with her family on the open seas. On March 21st, 1998, the Bradleys boarded the 1,000-foot cruise liner Rhapsody of the Seas in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Approximately 2,000-plus people were on the cruise. It was like a floating city. The Bradley cabin was on the 10th-floor deck. The family shared the room, reminding them of the old days before Brad and Amy went to live on their own. On the morning of March 23rd, the ship dropped anchor in Aranjestad, Aruba. The Bradleys commemorated the occasion by taking a family photo. Everyone was ecstatic to be on this trip together. I just sent you both the picture that they took on the cruise so you can kind of get an image of the Bradleys at the time in 1998. Amy, of course, is in the front in the striped shirt.
They look so happy, and I'm already dreading to hear what happens and disrupts their wonderful family trip.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. It's not every day you hear about someone missing from a cruise ship. After a day of traversing the island, the Bradleys returned to the ship for a formal dinner. Everyone was very dressed up for this dinner. The men wore tuxedos and the women were in gowns. And it's been said that Amy had a rose for each member of her family. The Bradleys dined among the ship's other passengers. Everyone was having fun, eating great food, and taking pictures. I just have to say, I don't know about you, the both of you, but when I think about taking pictures in the 90s, I think about all of the disposable cameras I had.
Oh, yes. I think I still probably have some that have never been developed, and I would love, they probably, it probably wouldn't work right now, but I would actually love to get them developed and just see what's on there.
That would be great.
I remember I always had a disposable camera on me. Like, I would carry it in my backpack. Just because I felt like I needed it.
Any sort of outing, you had to have the disposable camera if you weren't one of the few people with a regular camera in the 90s.
Well, I had a regular camera too, like the 35 millimeter where the film had to rewind and you know, you had to, and then you had to like lace it through the back. It was like really
complicated. Oh, yeah.
I forgot all about that. That's hilarious.
And then when you got to the end of the film, it would make that weird whirring sound. Yeah.
And you just never knew if anything was going to turn out.
No, you just had to hope for the, turn it in and hope for the best.
Yeah. Hold your breath and hope the developer did a good job.
Right. And that everybody had their eyes open. So everyone was enjoying this trip. They were doing all of those fun things people do on big cruise ships. After the dinner, the Bradleys changed into more casual clothing and went to the ship's upper pool deck for a Calypso party. It was very festive. The deck was full of people and everybody was dancing. There was a limbo contest that night, which Brad won, Amy's brother. Around 1 a.m. in the early morning hours of March 24th, the ship set sail for Curaçao, a tiny island off of the coast of Venezuela. At this point, Ron and Iva were exhausted and decided to call it a night, and they returned to the cabin. Amy and Brad then went to the ship's 24-hour dance club to hear a performance by the ship's house band, Blue Orchid. Amy and Brad were both in the club, but they have been described as kind of doing their own thing. Brad had met some girls and he was hanging out with them. Amy is said to have been drinking with some of the members of Blue Orchid, the band that I mentioned. A few hours later, Brad got tired. This was around 3:45 to 4 a.m., and he went back to the cabin to go to bed. Amy came in approximately 20 to 30 minutes later. When she returned to the room, Brad was sitting on the balcony and she went outside to join him. They sat outside overlooking the moonlit Caribbean Sea and discussed what they were going to do the next day. Shortly after, Brad told Amy he was going to sleep. Amy wanted to continue sitting in the fresh open air of the balcony for a bit longer. Brad told Amy he loved her and went to bed. Sometime around 5:30 a.m., as the ship arrived in Curaçao, Amy's father, Ron, woke up and saw that Amy was still sitting outside on the balcony. He remembered recalling that she was safe and everyone was in the room. He shut his eyes for what seemed like just a few minutes, knowing that soon they would be having breakfast and beginning the day. Something woke Ron up again, close to 6 a.m. He looked out to the balcony and Amy wasn't there. Her bed was also empty. At first, he wasn't that worried. He assumed she was smoking a cigarette and having some coffee on the deck or taking photos of the sunrise somewhere on the ship. Ron searched the ship for Amy, assuming he would find her easily. But after an hour, he still hadn't located her. He rushed back to the cabin to tell his wife and son he still couldn't find her. When Ron was coming back from his search for Amy, the head security officer of the ship was actually standing about 30 to 40 feet from their cabin. He informed the officer that Amy was missing and went back to the room. At this point, he was panicked. Iva recalls Ron touching her foot and waking her up at about 7 in the morning, telling her that he couldn't find Amy. She could tell by her husband's unrecognizable expression that something was very wrong. Seconds later, Iva was up and dressed to help her husband find their daughter. 2 hours later, Amy was still missing. As the ship neared its next stop, the family begged crew members for help, this including asking the ship's captain to make an announcement that Amy was missing. He told the Bradleys he didn't want to disturb the passengers with the news and refused the Bradleys' request of not lowering the gangplanks. The Bradleys were adamant that passengers remain on the ship until investigators could speak with people and look throughout the ship. Unfortunately, this did not happen because the crew didn't believe foul play was involved in the disappearance. As thousands of passengers disembarked to the island, the captain assured the Bradleys he would conduct a thorough search of the entire ship. But when he returned several hours later, the news was not good. The ship had been searched in its entirety, every nook and cranny, they were told, and Amy was not there. This search allegedly only included bathrooms and common areas and ignored staterooms and employee living quarters, which definitely doesn't sound like every nook and cranny. The Bradleys were given a harrowing choice: stay on the ship as it made its way to St. Martin, or disembark at Curacao. The Bradleys went with the difficult choice of getting off at Curacao to fend for themselves looking for Amy with no assistance or instructions. Disoriented and distraught, the Bradleys sought help from the American Embassy as their only hope in an unfamiliar country. The embassy informed the Bradleys the search for Amy would begin in the ocean. The problem was not knowing when Amy departed the ship. All that was known is that it was sometime between early dawn, most likely around 6 a.m., when her father saw her on the balcony, and 7 a.m. when she was discovered to be missing. Or between that time, after her brother saw her. Thinking she possibly went overboard and tried to swim to the shore, the local Navy began their search around the waters of Curacao's port. I also need to mention that Amy was a trained lifeguard, and investigators said there was no evidence that she had fallen overboard or that she died by suicide. It's also been said by her family that she refused to even go near the railing of the ship, making these theories seem even more unlikely. The Bradleys were terrified. They were in an unfamiliar country with not a clue where they were or what to do. First of all, can I just say, can you imagine that situation?
No, not at all. I would be so terrified.
It's completely awful to imagine. I mean, it's horrible anytime someone goes missing, but to be in an unfamiliar country and also to go missing from a ship.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have gotten off the boat. Like, I'm not sure like what getting off would achieve, but I guess they were able to speak to the embassy though, so that makes more sense.
Disappearing off a cruise ship is kind of like one of those weird phobias of mine, like an unfounded, it's probably never going to happen to me kind of phobia. But like, I have nightmares about that.
I mean, I hate to say, I know of one other case. I'm sure there have been some others, but I know of at least one other missing person story that happened from a cruise ship. Maybe I'll do that one another time.
And then I like have this fear, like, you know, the cruises, like the Disney cruises where you can take your kids and they have nannies and things like that. Even that scares me. I'm like, nope, knowing my luck, things will end badly.
I hate to say, I don't think this story is going to help those fears, and I apologize for that, but it is an interesting one for sure.
Yeah.
So after hours of searching the ocean of Curacao, investigators found no trace of Amy. Despite being told Amy was not on board, the Bradleys now decide to go back to the ship in St. Martin to look for Amy, this time with the assistance of the FBI. The Bradleys flew from Curacao and demanded that they be allowed to reboard. The FBI assured no stone would be left unturned. Like anyone else, the Bradleys were treated as suspects in the beginning, being that they were the last people to see Amy. Ron, Iva, and Brad were all interviewed separately and asked to sketch the balcony, the chairs, etc., where Amy was last seen. Investigators spoke with as many of the approximately 2,900 passengers and crew as possible. Several witnesses recall seeing Amy in the ship's dance club that night. Many sources recall seeing Amy with a man named Alistair Douglas, aka Yellow. And I'm going to refer to him as Yellow throughout this when he's mentioned. Witnesses recall seeing Amy with Yellow before dawn after Brad went to sleep. Oh, and by the way, I believe he was a member of the band, the Blue Orchid band.
Okay, I was going to say, please tell me that they spoke to the Blue Orchid, because that's where my suspicions arose already, like when you first mentioned them.
Well, your Brandon sense may be onto something, because we'll just see what you think as I go on. Witnesses also recall seeing Amy with Yellow before dawn after Brad went to sleep. The exact time is difficult to verify. People are on vacation from all over, in international waters, after a night of partying, all of that. It was just made the sense of time confusing, I'm sure. Brad was also disturbed by an encounter he had with Yellow just a few hours after Amy went missing. He was sitting by the pool at a table when Yellow walked up to him and said, "Sorry to hear about your sister." At the time, Brad was overwhelmed and didn't think much of it. But in retrospect, he finds the timing of Yellow's condolences suspicious. No announcement had been made about Amy's disappearance. Looking back, Brad wonders what, if anything, he knew about Amy's disappearance. Amy was seen speaking with Yellow and dancing with him. He agreed to a polygraph test. Afterwards, Amy's father, Ron, noticed Yellow came out of the polygraph exam smiling with a thumbs up to the band members. Make of that what you will. Alistair, Yellow, Douglas, and Amy were even videotaped, reportedly by a camera person producing a promotional piece for the cruise line. Footage surfaced when the video producer heard about Amy's disappearance and assumed she must be in some of the video from the evening in question. After Amy left her room, she was seen near the club with Yellow at approximately 6 a.m. A witness would eventually claim to have seen Yellow hand Amy a dark drink, possibly coffee. Other witnesses saw Yellow leaving the area by himself, but Amy was never seen again. Police eventually cleared Yellow after the polygraph, but before the FBI got a hold of the dance club footage. After countless interviews, there were no viable leads. They were unable to even confirm when the Bradleys believed they last saw Amy in their cabin. There is a gap of time between 4 and 7 a.m. that's sort of unknown. On March 28th, the Bradleys flew back to Chesterfield, Virginia without Amy. They went from having a once-in-a-lifetime happy family vacation to the surreal, horrifying experience of returning home without their beloved daughter and sister. 1 week had passed since 23-year-old Amy Bradley went missing from a cruise liner crossing the Caribbean Sea. Now at home in Virginia, her parents, Ron and Iva, do everything in their power to get the word out about her disappearance. They were always on the phone, checking emails, and even created a website to help locate their daughter. They knew it was not a time to rest and that Amy was counting on them. I mentioned earlier that there was no evidence of suicide. I need to bring this up again because naturally, when there's a very mysterious disappearance with not a lot of answers, this is a conclusion people tend to make. I could especially see them making this conclusion being that it happened on a ship. But there's just not much evidence to support this. Not only is Amy described as having had a lot of friends and a very upbeat and outgoing personality, but she had just moved into a new apartment. She was excited to begin a new job within her uncle's business, and she had even just gotten a new dog. Things were looking up for her. Even before Amy went missing, there were several peculiar instances around the ship. Three of the waiters on the ship were quite friendly with Amy, almost immediately. While the ship was docked in Aruba, one of them even asked Amy's father, Ron, about her whereabouts by name. When asked why he was looking for her, he told Mr. Bradley that They, presumably members of the waitstaff, wanted to take her to Carlos and Charlie's, which was the same bar that Natalie Holloway ended up disappearing from in 2005. That night, when the ship staff posted photos taken of all of the dinner participants, Amy's mother noticed that all of Amy's photos were missing, despite the gallery supervisor clearly remembering that they were posted earlier. The Bradleys quickly became a presence in the media, often publicizing a $260,000 reward to encourage people to come forward with any information about Amy and her safe return. But weeks passed and no one came forward. At this point, Amy's father and brother Brad decided to go back to Curacao to see if they could find any additional leads. They passed out flyers they had brought with them that advertised the reward. They spoke with dozens of local people, including tourists. Their determination soon paid off in the form of a fascinating tip. An older taxi driver approached Ron, asking if he was the father of the girl that was missing. He then said, "I want you to know that your daughter did not fall from that ship. She's here on this island, and I hope you can find her." Ron and Brad looked at each other in disbelief. The taxi driver said he actually spoke with Amy face to face. He recalled Amy coming up to his cab and asking where a phone was. The taxi driver suggested three specific places on the island where he believed Ron and Brad could look for Amy. The first big spot they investigated was a resort on the south coast of the island. It was a big resort on the beach, but only two vehicles were at the whole resort, so it was sort of a ghost town when they got there. So they left that area and went to the other two locations, finding dead ends at all three spots suggested by the local driver. The next day, as they were searching other neighborhoods in Curacao, Brad heard something that made him stop in his tracks. He heard someone shout, "Brad," and it seemed at first as if it was coming from a car that passed them. But they ended up locating and approaching the car they believed they heard this voice come from, and there was no sign of her. Brad said it was as clear as day, and it sounded exactly like his sister. This is where things start to get weird, and a lot of strange tips start flooding the Bradleys and the authorities. For several months, authorities and the Bradleys received many tips, but none of them turned out to be credible. But all of that changed in May of 1999. When Amy's case was featured on an episode of America's Most Wanted. A Canadian scuba diver named David Carmichael saw the episode and remembered an encounter he had in August of 1998, just 5 months after Amy vanished. Mr. Carmichael saw two men and a woman walking on the beach near Port of Maria, Curacao. When he spoke in a loud voice in English to a friend who was just a few feet away, the woman suddenly turned around and began to walk towards him. Just as the woman was about to speak with him, one of the two men distinctly motioned for her to walk away. She despondently entered a small cafe with the two men, but continued to stare at Mr. Carmichael whenever she could get his attention. Carmichael had no idea who Amy was until he saw that episode. When he contacted the Bradleys, he was also able to describe Amy's distinctive tattoos as he observed her from only a few feet away. He claims to be 100% sure that the woman he saw was Amy Lynn Bradley. Flash forward a few months to January of 1999. When a Navy petty officer came forward with an unsettling story. He claimed to have come across Amy in a hotel brothel in Curacao. Recognizing him as an American, Amy supposedly told the person her name and that she was being held against her will and asked for help. Unfortunately, the officer kept the information to himself, fearing the repercussions that would come with his solicitation of a sex worker. He only reached out to the Bradleys through their website after his retirement,
So she said she was being held against her will. Do we think that she got off like in disguise or something when everybody like exited the boat? Or because the cab driver said she did not fall off the boat, so she didn't swim to shore. So, gosh.
It seems to me like she was probably escorted off the boat by someone, but how and when and where, I have no clue.
Yeah, and how did nobody recognize her leaving? Man, this is creepy.
In the fall of 1999, the most despicable chapter of the Amy Lynn Bradley saga occurred. A man named Frank Jones contacted the Bradley family and claimed Colombian gangsters had Amy on the island of Curaçao. Jones alleged he was a former member of American Special Forces and offered to help free Amy. He also claimed he had a witness to Amy's location, a cook who accurately described Amy's tattoos, and even a lullaby that she heard Amy sing, which she was taught by Mrs. Bradley. I'm sure you can imagine the Bradleys were ecstatic to hear this news. Two other former Navy SEALs were sent to Curaçao to determine Amy's location. When Jones demanded more money to underwrite the actual armed rescue, the Bradleys asked for solid evidence that their daughter was actually under Jones' team's surveillance. He responded with a photograph of a similarly tattooed woman who resembled Amy, and the Bradleys paid him the rest of the money, totaling something around $210,000, I believe. It was quite a lot of money. The Bradleys were instructed to fly to Florida to wait for a call from Jones as soon as Amy was recovered. They waited in a hotel for a week. And I have to say, they had bags packed for Amy. They had a jet waiting. I mean, they were prepared to take her home. They waited in this hotel for a week before they received a phone call from one of Jones' associates, who had also been duped, and they determined the whole thing was a scam. The cook photos, the Colombians, and the house under surveillance, it was a fraud.
Wow.
Truly unbelievable that someone could do this. And yeah. And I recall hearing Amy's mother said in an interview that this man was a father himself, and she just could not believe that someone with children would do this to them. He had never been in the special forces. He did eventually plead guilty to mail fraud, and he got a 5-year sentence in an order to make restitution to the Bradleys. That's all I really know about that, but that's like straight out of a soap opera.
That's terrible.
So I've just got a bit more and then we can discuss a little further. I'm almost finished with the basic facts of this case. Since Amy's disappearance in March of 1998, there have been several reported sightings of her. This is the really big one that is really scary to me. Perhaps the most disturbing of these sightings and tips was a 2005 email sent to the Bradley family website, which contained two photographs of a woman. These photos were observed by a member of an organization that attempts to track potential victims on sites that feature sex workers. Photos depict a scantily clad woman who closely resembles Amy, but also appears to be both distraught and despondent. One of these photos was seen publicly when the Bradley family appeared on the Dr. Phil show. And I'm going to show you both the photos that they received so you can tell me what you think. I have my thoughts, but I'm wondering what you think. I'll send the two photos and then I'll send another photo of Amy just so you can really assess the situation rather.
I don't see a resemblance. Do you? Like, I mean, she clearly looks a lot different. Her hair is longer and she's got makeup on.
I think the cheekbones look the same.
And her tattoos are not in a spot that would be seen in these photos.
Well, I think the main distinctive tattoo is like on her back, like her shoulder blade, and it looks like her hair is covering that spot. So I don't know. I read that, or I heard anyway, that the the person, like the professional person that analyzed these photos, he believed that it was a strong possibility it was her, but it's never been confirmed.
The mouth shape is very similar, but her left eye kind of slants down, whereas the girl in the other photos, I don't see that going on, but...
Oh, good point. I didn't notice that with the eye.
If it is her, she's had some hard, hard living in between that prom photo you sent and the other photos.
I was thinking the same thing. If that is, I don't know whether to say I hope it's her or not her.
I know. Yeah, that's the way I feel. I'm like, gosh, I don't know if I want that to be her or not.
Okay, so I just had to show you the pictures because it is fascinating. I would love to hear what our listeners think. Do you think it's Amy Lynn Bradley? What are your thoughts? Please let us know. The other thing that I need to mention is that at some point in 2005, there was a woman in Bridgetown, Barbados. She was in a restroom stall when she suddenly heard two men loudly enter the restroom and began screaming and threatening a woman in a different stall. This individual waited for a few minutes and then exited the stall to find a very upset woman sort of hunched over the sink area. The woman allegedly told the witness her name was Amy and that she was from Virginia. Seconds later, the two men re-entered the restroom and forcibly removed the woman who identified herself as Amy from Virginia. The witness provided the FBI with descriptions of the two men and the woman. Amy from Virginia strongly resembled the two online racy photos sent around the same time to the Bradleys.
Okay, so normally I would be like, okay, all these sightings are bogus. They're always bogus. But I feel like there are too many similar sightings for this to not actually be her. Like, I was thinking at first that like she just fell off the boat. That's all that happened. But I think she might not be okay now, and that's terrible to even think. But I think she got off the boat somehow, and that at least some of those sightings had to be her.
I just realized, because I don't know the ship's exact itinerary and the exact time of like when her dad woke up and noticed she was gone, when the ship was arriving, all those things. I just thought, I wonder if the ship docked in that very, very short window before her dad woke up. And if she was able to get off somehow with someone.
Yeah, because it's not like you have to ask permission to leave the boat, and they were not granting that request anyway. So yeah, maybe there was a time frame to get off immediately.
I wish I had some more clarity on that. So that I feel like that alone would potentially answer a lot of questions.
Yeah. But I mean, it sounds like she could have been abducted and, you know, put into sex slavery, but she seems also older than that. But I guess there's not an age limit on that, unfortunately.
No, it can happen to anyone, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. Unfortunately, not even the right word, but sadly, I should say that. Yeah,
and I think we think of it being as like kids and really young people, but she was also only 23, so she was still pretty young.
Yeah, I feel like, and then you ask yourself, well, why couldn't she ever get away? But there's just so many elements that could, you know, prevent that from happening. And I feel like maybe she had been, you know, you can, in a situation like that, you could probably force someone to become addicted to drugs. And like, she looks like she's a little strung out in those photos. And I'm like, bring them on. Let me medicate myself from this mess.
Right. Which would make a lot of sense if that was what was happening. I really hope not. Who would want to be lucid for that, right?
Yeah.
How creepy. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, in a lot of the TV shows we watch and things, when they talk about sex traffickers, their basic MO is to lure the girls away with the promise of, oh, hey, we're going to have a party. You should come. then they get kidnapped, and then they force them to do the drugs until they get addicted to the drugs. And then after a while, they just start believing, like, nobody's going to come for me. Nobody's going to rescue me. If I do get out, are they going to come find me? Are they going to hurt my family? Until they are brainwashed into believing that this, they are never going to get out.
Yeah, that's their life now.
And the repeated drug use, I would imagine, along with the brainwashing, probably just creates a mental state of uncertainty. And
right, because they do that so they can keep control over their victims.
And how creepy is it that some of the ship's staff were allegedly wanting to take her to the bar that Natalie Holloway disappeared from?
Yeah, yeah. I've been saving this statement up for this whole time, but I just want to say that I never want to go on a cruise. I never have. I've turned down many options, and this, you know, just helps. This is just another thing to add to the list of reasons why I don't want to ever go on a cruise. And sorry to cruise fans out there, but I have no interest. Just like Amy, I don't want to be out in the middle of the ocean. I don't want to be on a large boat because we know what can happen. And I certainly would not want to be in her situation either. It's like, no, I'm not going to put myself in that situation ever in my life.
I don't blame you one bit after hearing all of this.
Yeah, it's just not my thing. Like, I'm not a big fan of water. Like, I don't like swimming. I don't like the ocean. And so I just could never do it, and I don't want to do it. And then, so yeah, it would be kind of like, it would be like my ultimate nightmare. Like, for me to be on a cruise and have something like this happen, like, it would be the worst thing to ever happen to me that could happen to me. Let's not go on any cruises anytime soon.
Yeah, like, we don't have any plans to take our podcast on a cruise. Like, we are open to touring venues, but we want to be landlocked when we
landlocked indeed.
Well, thank you to our listeners for listening, and please let us know your thoughts about this case. We would really love to hear what your take on this is and what you think happened to her. And we also hope that Amy is somehow returned safely and that she's okay. And of course, that her family finds some peace. We wish everybody the best.